Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show traces the life and career of Elia Kazan, one of the most celebrated American directors. I hope you enjoy the show. Born in Istanbul in 1909, Elias Kazantzoglu, or Elia Kazan, became the most influential director in Hollywood over the course of his career. Stanley Kubrick called him, without question, the best director we have here in America, capable of performing miracles with the actors he uses. High praise indeed. He discovered James Dean, Marlon Brando, Warren Beatty, Carl Malden, James Woods, Jack Palance, Eve Marie Saint, and Lee Remick. He also resurrected Natalie Wood's career. It came down to the fact that he started out as an actor himself in New York and joined the Group Theatre founded by Lee Strasberg and Harold Kluman. They told him, "You may have talent for something, but it's certainly not acting." But having begun that way seemed to have given him an insight into how to treat actors. He became a stage director, and his wife alerted him to the existence of Tennessee Williams, a playwright who at the age of 33 had finally found success. He directed Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman and Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire with Marlon Brando and Carl Malden, and both were successful on Broadway. By this time, he'd founded the Actors Studio in New York, a non-profit-making actors' workshop, where he'd found Brando and Malden. His first feature, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, came in 1945, when he was at the height of his success as a stage director. It's a sentimental melodrama of the highest order and follows the trials and tribulations of the Nolan family in Brooklyn in pre-World War I. James Dunn won an Oscar for his portrayal of Johnny Nolan, the singing waiter, and Fox, excited by the dailies they saw, wanted Kazan to reshoot the entire film in colour, which he refused to do. Joan Blondell and Dorothy McGuire also star. Nicholas Ray, Kazan's great friend, was present on set for most of the shoot and performed various jobs, including assistant director and dialogue director. Alfred Newman wrote the score. This is James Dunn singing Annie Laurie.
Max Welton's braes are bonny, where early falls the dew. And was there that Annie Laurie gave me a promise true, gave me a promise true, which ne'er forget will be. And for Bonnie Annie Laurie, I Max Welton braes are bonny, where early falls the dew. And 'twas there that Annie Laurie gave me a promise true. Gave me a promise true, which ne'er forget will be. And for Bonnie Annie Laurie, I would lay me down.
followed next, a noirish courtroom drama based on a true story of a DA, played by Dana Andrews, who against type disproves the state's case against a killer, played well by Arthur Kennedy. A western followed, Sea of Grass, and then Kazan made Gentleman's Agreement, starring Gregory Peck as a reporter who pretends to be Jewish in order to uncover the true extent of anti-Semitism. Kazan won Best Picture and Best Director's Oscars, and Celeste Holm picked one up for Supporting Actress. Plus, there were 5 other nominations. Not bad for your 4th picture. With this film, Kazan showed his desire for picking sensitive social issues, and he continued this with his next film, Pinky, which tells the story of a light-skinned black woman's love for a white doctor. Initially, John Ford was to direct, but Fox insisted Kazan take over when they decided Ford wasn't connecting with the material enough. Another 3 Oscar nominations, but no wins. Panic in the Streets is a great noir set in New Orleans, where Richard Widmark races against time to find the killers of a corpse found with bubonic plague. Jack Palance made his screen debut in this film. Then in 1951, he made his successful stage version of A Streetcar Named Desire into a film, taking Marlon Brando and Carl Malden with him, as well as 7 other original cast members. Vivian Leigh replaced Jessica Tandy to play Blanche to give the film some star appeal. Alex North wrote a jazz-oriented score, and it was the first of its kind. The film won 4 Oscars and had another 8 nominations. Here's 4 Deuces by Alex North.
Thank you.
The following year, he made Viva Zapata, about the legendary Mexican bandit, also starring Marlon Brando. Another Oscar-nominated score by Alex North. Another supporting actor Oscar, this time for Anthony Quinn. Brando was again nominated for Best Actor. Here's Gathering of the Forces by Alex North. Around this time, Kazan was called before the HUAC committee as a witness in the communist witch hunt. His testimony ruined several careers, including that of Clifford Odets, the playwright, and Kazan suffered unpopularity because of this. He said later he took only the more tolerable of two alternatives that were either way painful and wrong. It didn't curb his enthusiasm as a director or his achievements. 2 years later came that film, On the Waterfront, dealing with union corruption in the New York harbour. No less than 8 Oscars won and another 4 nominations, including Leo Bernstein for the only cinematic score he wrote. Here's part of his dramatic symphonic suite.
Thank you.
Frank Sinatra had been approached to play Terry Molloy when Brando was reticent to play the role because of Kazan's HUAC testimony. It took a staged reading using an unknown Paul Newman from the actor's workshop to make Brando accept the part. East of Eden came the next year, 1955, written by John Steinbeck and starring an unknown James Dean. It was Kazan's first film in colour, and this is the most exact example of the method form of acting taught in the actor's studio. Dean had recommended Leonard Rosenman to write his first film score. It was back to black and white for Kazan's next two pictures, Baby Doll and A Face in the Crowd, both again taking on controversial subject matter. Kazan provided much of Tennessee Williams' script for Baby Doll, and its overt sexuality almost proved its undoing, prompting 77% of theatres to cancel their showings. Carol Baker starred, although Marilyn Monroe wanted the part desperately, and Williams preferred her, but Kazan wanted the relatively unknown Carol Baker from the Actors Studio. 4 Oscar nominations, no wins. Here's Shame, 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 sung by Smiley Lewis.
Sweat and talk.
A face in the crowd was a blistering attack on the power of the media in shaping opinions. Andy Griffith and Lee Remick made their screen debuts, and the script was written by Bud Schulberg, who'd written On the Waterfront. This is Just Plain Folks, sung by Andy Griffith.
Friendly greeting, Sunday go to meeting. Just plain folks, Bible reading, pork chop feeding. Just plain folks, stew on the table, mule in the stable. Drugstore coats, Bill and Mabel, Levi label. Just plain folks.
Hi, hello, and how do you do? I'm mighty proud of you. You and me are plain as can be. I drop in tomorrow and try a slab of Mom's apple pie, her grandma's recipe.
Skeeter itching, horseshoe pitching, swapping jokes, hickory switches, corduroy britches, just plain folks. Sharing, rocking, sharing, just plain folks. Apple pairing, calico wearing, just plain folks. Carnival going, rodeoing, wagons folks. Mending, sewing, tic-tac going, just plain folks.
Hi, hello, and how do you do? I'm mighty proud of you. You and me are plain as can be. I drop in tomorrow and try a slab of Mom's apple pie, her grandma's recipe.
Saturday shopping, razor stopping, corn cob smokes, firewood chopping, popcorn popping, just plain folks.
Apple pie, her grandma's recipe.
Saturday shopping, razor stopping, corn cob smokes, firewood chopping, popcorn popping, just plain turkey and straw, we're just plain folks.
Kazan returned to colour in 1960 with Wild River, starring Montgomery Clift, Lee Remick and Joe Van Fleet. It chronicles the struggle of a rugged individualist against the march of progress with the backdrop of Tennessee. Here's some of the score by Kenyon Hopkins.
Thank you.
Kazan moved into the 60s with Splendor in the Grass, which resurrected Natalie Wood's career. She had been cast mostly as a child or teenager up until then and wanted more adult roles. Warren Beatty in his first film starred opposite her, responsible for her sexual awakening in Depression-era Kansas. This is David Amram's main theme. In 1963, Kazan made his favourite film, America, America. It was based on his uncle's story of persecution in Turkey and his struggle to get to America via Istanbul. It's an epic tale and runs at nearly 3 hours. Stathis Gialelis was plucked from obscurity to play the uncle and had a look which is a cross between a young Oliver Reed and Orson Welles. It's a captivating film, beautifully shot by Haskell Wexler in black and white. Manos Hatzidakis wrote a really great score, and here's The Dance of Vartan. ¶¶ Kazan wound down his workload after this, and in the 60s made just one more film, The Arrangement, with Kirk Douglas and Faye Dunaway, based on Kazan's own novel about an advertising executive's midlife crisis. Here's some of David Amram's great score. This film was extremely expensive to make, and as a reaction, Kazan's next picture, The Visitors, in 1972, was shot on a very small budget. It's a brooding, dark film about a Vietnam vet, played by James Woods in his first film, who gets a visit from two old army friends. Kazan's final film came in 1976, The Last Tycoon, with Robert De Niro playing Monroe Starr, a movie producer on his last legs. It was adapted by Harold Pinter from the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel. It was Teresa Russell's debut role, and Tony Curtis also starred, with Dana Andrews, Robert Mitchum, Jean Moreau, Jack Nicholson, Ray Milland, Donald Pleasance, etc., etc., etc. Sam Spiegel, the producer, had this to say about it. The greatest young actor in America today is Robert De Niro. The greatest living director is Elia Kazan. And I may be the greatest producer of all time. How the hell could we make such a bad fucking movie? It may have been down to the fact that Spiegel was in awe of Harold Pinter and wouldn't let Kazan make any changes to his script at all. Paul Newman and Al Pacino had both turned down the role of Monroe Starr. This is Benjamino Gigli singing Mi par Dio dire ancora by Bizet. Here's some facts about Elia Kazan. In his films, there were 21 nominations for Best Actor Oscar and a phenomenal 9 wins from those 21. He won Best Director twice and had 3 further nominations. He won Best Picture twice and had 2 further nominations. His films won Best Writing 3 times with a further 8 nominations. He described how he worked with actors. Now, what I try to do is get to know them very well. I take them to dinner. I talk to them. I meet their wives. I find out what the hell the human material is that I'm dealing with, so that by the time I take an unknown, he's not an unknown to me. Kazan died on September 28, 2003, aged 94, of natural causes at home in Manhattan, New York. I'll leave you with some more of Manos Hatzidakis' excellent score for America, America.